Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. Lord, when you proclaimed your name to Moses on Mount Sinai, you called out, the Lord God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving devotion and faithfulness, maintaining loving devotion to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He will visit iniquity on the fathers of their children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. God, remarkably, your first descriptive words were compassionate and gracious. You did not reveal your glory as the Lord exacting and precise, or the Lord tolerant and overlooking, or the Lord disappointed and frustrated. Your highest priority and deepest delight, your heart, is being compassionate and gracious. Would you so reveal yourself to us? I humbly ask in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Molnar is excused.
Quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. Without objection, we'll go to our business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed to Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs. Report that Senate Bills 374 and 378 do pass as amended, and that Senate Resolution 91 be adopted as amended. Senator C. Fitzpatrick, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed to Judiciary. Report that House Bill 382 be concurred in as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Public Health, Welfare, and Safety. Report that Senate Resolution 94 be adopted, that House Bill 398 be concurred in, and that House Bills 423 and 426 be concurred in as amended. Senator David Howard, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection,
that is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go to our business number four, messages from the Governor.
Dear President Blaisdell, on Friday, March 26, I signed the following bills. Senate Bill 18, Solomon. Senate Bill 80, Regeer. Senate Bill 123, Regeer. The bills have been delivered to the Secretary of State's office. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House resolutions on this, they read three several times and passed silent history agreed to, and they hereby transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House was 624 Buckley. That the following Senate bills were on this, they read three several times concurred in title and history agreed to, and they are hereby returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 240 Manzella, Senate Bill 267 Brown. That the following Senate bills were on this, they read three several times concurred in as amended, title and history agreed to, and they are hereby returned to the Senate for concurrence and House amendments. Senate Bill 169 Cuff, Senate Bill 196 McGillivray, Senate Bill 211 Fitzpatrick, Senate Bill 309 Sales. That's sincerely, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading commitment bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 402 has been introduced, read for time and for the committee. House Bill 624 and Senate Bill 401 have been introduced and read. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
Heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Suppose no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Gillespie, Chairman of the day.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 320. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 320, introduced by Boldman, a bill for an act entitled an act providing for an alcohol delivery endorsement, providing delivery requirements for beer and wine, applying delivery requirements to on-premises beer and wine, all beverages, and restaurant beer and wine licensees, requiring the delivery part of the delivery of food that is prepared by the licensee, requiring the delivery to be made by the licensee, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 320. What is your pleasure, Senator Boldman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 320, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Members of the body. So, members of the body, this is another bill that's come out of our lessons from the effect that COVID had on all of our small businesses around the state. And so, in particular, this has to do with our mom-and-pop restaurants. As many of you know, we heard a bill last week from Representative Zolnikoff that allowed for curbside delivery. That actually allowed, as you'll recall, folks, when they ordered, they could pick up beer, wine, and hard alcohol. We brought this bill separately because this is just beer and wine. And this is really just an extension of the governor's orders under COVID. So under COVID, as you know, many of us started to order food, take out, and had it delivered to our house. I learned about this from personal experience. I ordered from a restaurant, Scotty's Table, and I ordered from The Bridge. And I saw on their website that it was new that I actually could order a bottle of wine, too. And that was a result of the governor's order allowing those restaurants continue to make some money on beer and wine sales when people were doing what they were doing during COVID, which was order out. And this just extends those orders. I did want to share why this had a bit of a wonky vote coming out of committee. And that's if you look at line 5 of the bill. On line 5 of the bill, originally, as we introduced it, we called this extension of the orders a license to deliver. And we learned very quickly that the Department of Revenue charges a lot of money to create a new license. And so the original bill had an insane fiscal note. My good friend across the aisle from Great Falls amended that to do what we were trying to do, which is just create a beer and wine endorsement. And so now, as you can see, there is a revised fiscal note on the bill, and it does not cost our state any money. It actually makes our state a little money. And it had no opposition with the amendment in committee, which, as a lawyer who works in this industry, we routinely call the unicorn because it never happens. All three legs of the stool agree. I also just wanted to share, if you look on page 13 of the bill, the folks that have these beer and wine licenses, the beer and wine has to be delivered with food. So again, it's just meant for mom and pop restaurants. I believe that's line or page 13. And the cost of the beer and wine can't exceed the cost of the food. So again, this isn't meant to be an alcohol delivery business. It's again, just for mom and pop restaurants that when you order food, that you could also get a little beer and wine with your dinner, which is of course how folks back home tend to make some of their money at restaurants is from their beer and wine license. I wanted to share one other thing is how it works on the ground. When I ordered a meal for our family from The Bridge, when I ordered over the phone, the gal explained to me that somebody 21 had to answer the door. And when the food actually came, I was downstairs doing my laundry, and my little boy came and got me and, in fact, said, "Mama, they won't give it to me. You have to go to the door." So logistically, it's pretty common sense way that it's implemented. Like I said, they're already doing it around the state now, and our restaurants really wanted us to do this, and nobody in the alcohol industry objected. So with that, let's let our folks back home continue to make money, and we all learned more convenient ways to have free market solutions because of COVID. So thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion. Senator Kerry. Smith. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
I sure do.
Senator, I don't have a revised fiscal note. I have just the original one.
There is a revised fiscal note online. I don't know why that wouldn't be in front of you. I'll pull it up just a second. Do you have it? So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it definitely has a revised fiscal note. I didn't even notice that wasn't what was in front of you. Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the revised fiscal note, and again, I'm not sure why it's not in front of you, says Senate Bill 320, as amended, allows on-premise consumption of beer, wine, all beverage to get a new delivery endorsement from the department, and it makes $27,000 in fiscal year 2022, $40,000 in 2023, another $40,000. I can show it to you. Again, I'm sorry that I don't know why it hasn't been put in front of everyone.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Smith.
I can see the fiscal note here online, so I'll take that as being an official fiscal note, and we won't send it to Finance and Claims.
Thank you. I can't believe this happened. Thank you.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just recently had another bill that kind of addressed the same thing. That was more, I think, on the hard liquor side. This is beer and wine. With the revised fiscal note actually being a positive for the state, I think it's a good bill. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? Senator Boldman, would you like to close?
No, thanks, everyone. As you can see, I've been having a lot of luck with this bill. but it really is a good thing for folks back home. And I know we're supposed to say when we have a financial conflict of interest, but I definitely have a personal conflict of interest with this bill because I'll sure use it a lot, and I think it's a good thing for folks back home.
Okay, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Boldman that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 320, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. And those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 34 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
34 senators voting aye and 16 voting nay. Senate Bill 320 has passed. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 556. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 556, introduced by Walsh, a bill for an act entitled Act Providing Students Alternative Means of Earning a High School Diploma, requiring the Superintendent of Public Instruction to create a process for students to demonstrate proficiency of high school content standards through alternative means, providing rulemaking authority, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 556. What's your pleasure, Senator Wellborn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 556, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate. House Bill 556 rather is an act providing students the alternative means of earning a high school diploma. This bill is straightforward as it is providing a route for a high school diploma issued by the Office of Public Instruction to those students that have exhausted traditional means yet have demonstrated proficiency standards through that alternative means. The bill targets a non-traditional programs that offer youth who have dropped out of high school or who are not progressing satisfactorily the opportunity to turn their lives around. Students must participate in a rigorous program that includes academic self-discipline, leadership, and responsibility skills. The testimony came from the director of the Montana Youth Challenge Academy, as well as our own superintendent of public instruction, shared her support as well. This legislation will fill the gap for students that are unable to rejoin their home school to complete the requirements for the diploma. The state of Montana issued diploma opens doors for these students and allows them to continue to proceed on a positive path after coming from maybe a little darker spot in their lives. They've made the commitment to turn their lives around and become productive citizens once again. I submit to you, members of the Senate, I feel that it's our responsibility in return to recognize and support their growth with a truly relevant document. This is not a participation certificate. It's offered by the Office of Public Instruction, which they are tasked with developing the requirements reflective of the academic proficiency. It's a short, simple bill, but I feel that it takes an enormous step in having a lasting impact on the students that it seeks to help. Members, I'll stand for questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Friedel.
Well, Mr. Chairman, would the senator yield for a question?
Senator?
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, what's the difference between this and a GED?
Senator Solomon?
May I re-refer?
No, it's because this is an actual diploma through the, rather than the GED is, this is the actual, I mean, it's the same piece of paper than any other kid would have coming out of high school after they go through this program.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly.
If that's the case, what are the requirements that are different from a GED as opposed to this particular diploma?
Well, the way, Mr. Chairman, a GED, anybody can set for the go down and take the GED. This here requires a rigorous program ahead of it, such as Youth Challenge, which is a 12 or a 5-month program with educational components.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sweeney.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for the sponsor, please.
The sponsor yield.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the sponsor, I see this. We heard this in Senate Education, and it's a fantastic bill. And I know you have a program in Dillon that will benefit a lot from this. And I see this benefiting possibly the Job Corps outside of Anaconda also. I know that wasn't discussed, but I think it's a great bill. And do you see it expanding areas like that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sweeney, I look at it as the same. And I heard the Office of Public Instruction made mention that this does benefit like programs too. And I do believe that the Job Corps would be one of them among maybe some others. I mean, I think it's not just limited to the Youth Challenge. It's limited to any program that has educational components and life skills training involved as well.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, just speak to the bill real quick.
Yes.
This is a good bill for a lot of kids that are at risk. It gives them an opportunity to actually get a high school diploma either from the Office of Public Instruction. That means a lot and will boost them along their way to further successes in their career.
Senator Ellsworth.
Hello. Here we go. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to speak to the bill. So my son actually went to the program we were just talking about there. And so he actually had to get his high set, which is what they currently call, you know, a GED. That's a pretty rigorous challenge. It was certainly not something that he just, you know, sat down in 5 minutes and whipped out the work. He went to school every single day while he was there. And I know the old law, which is you can appeal to your local school board, and it's quite a process for a young man to go through that, you know, to be able to appeal to a school board, for the school board to approve it. And at the end of the day, the high set, you know, would give the same thing as a diploma. And I would say, on a personal note, I think that really matters to a lot of these kids. You know, my son was a junior, and, you know, for him to actually get a diploma from his high school and the friends that he has grown up with since he was in kindergarten, to be able to go and attend the 20th reunion and to participate in the school throughout, you know, the rest of his life, it's an important accomplishment, and I would definitely recommend a green light, Mr. Chair.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill, please.
Certainly.
I just want to say this is a great bill. The senator from the Bitterroot explained the concept of rigor, and the Office of Public Instruction is very much interested in our young people being prepared and in a rigorous program. And we had some great testimony and great support. So, green light. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Wellborn that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 556, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
Okay, 50 senators vote aye and 0 vote no. The motion has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 50. For your consideration, the clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 50, introduced by Garner, a bill for an act entitled an act redistributing 911 fees to the state library, requiring 911 fees to be used for GIS mapping related to next generation 911, requiring reporting to an interim committee, providing a statutory appropriation, providing rulemaking authority, amending sections, and providing an effective date and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 8.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 556, 50. What is your pleasure, Senator Temple?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 50, I recommend that the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Temple.
Mr. Chair and committee, what this bill does is it redistributes 911 fees to the state library for the purpose of GIS mapping related to next generation 911. Next generation 911 is the ability to get information from your cell phone. Back in the old days, folks, our PSAPs, our dispatch used these maps. Nowadays, when you're somewhere with a cell phone and you dial 911, they can find you. And basically, that's what we're doing with this money. There's a dollar that links every month to one of these charges. 25 cents of that will go to the state library that'll make sure that the PSAPs or the dispatchers have the information that's required to find you wherever you're at. At present, statewide, we're at 90, or we want to be at 98%. Right now, we're at 49% of getting all these things up to speed so that you can be found. So I appreciate a green vote on this one. I'll sit for questions. Thank you.
Are there any amendments to the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Temple. Or let's see here, just a minute. Okay, discussion time. Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speak to the bill. I was one of the no votes, and it's not because I'm against funding GIS mapping. I think that's a good cause. For me, the problem is taking the money away from these 911 call centers. These PSAPs, it takes a lot of money to keep them going. Just last November, on the general election, Flathead County ran a levy to get more money to fund their PSAP. And now we're taking money away from that. I felt that we should be looking at maybe some of that ARPA money that's coming down from the federal government. We're, I don't know, taking the money away from the 911 centers didn't feel right for me.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to speak to the bill briefly, I think there's money left in that 911 funding, and I'll tell you what, about a month ago I went down in my hotel room. I was able to tell the 911 caller my name, and I had my cell phone clutched in one hand and my can of chew in the other hand, and within minutes those firemen was in my room, and I'll tell you what, I at that point I didn't give 2 cents where that funding come from, but I was darn glad that they showed up. Thank you.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for Senator Osmussen.
I yield. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Osmussen, as you know, in financing claims, and we have a lot of money working around there with the ARP money for this the library and their GIS system. Do you see that will there be a duplication of funds here, or what's your opinion of this? If this bill passes, what could happen there? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lang, no, I don't think this is a duplication of funds. Could some of the ARP funds be used for this? Potentially, yes. I would point out that there is currently a $17 million fund balance in this account, and that is beyond what they currently use as operating. So this will not in any way harm the fund.
Thank you, Senator.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor care to close? Sponsor closes. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Temple that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 50, I recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 36 senators vote aye and 14 senators vote nay.
36 senators having voted aye and 14 nay, the motion has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 494. For your consideration, the clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 494, introduced by Harvey, a bill for an act entitled an act revising transportation construction law, providing for collaborative broadband installation and providing rulemaking authority.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 494. For your pleasure, Senator Lynch, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving this committee as rise report after having had under consideration House Bill 494, recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I bring before you a common piece sense of legislation. It's called the Dig Once Bill. And all this does is it asks the DOT, or it makes mandates that the DOT keep a list of internet broadband providers, and when they do construction on a site, that they notify those providers, and when they dig up a construction project, it allows those providers to lay fiber in that. And so in the instance that Mr. Internet brought $250, $300 million worth of internet fiber installation to this state, let's leverage every resource we have available and make sure it goes as far as we possibly can. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Not seeing any discussion. Does the sponsor wish to close? Oh, Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, I just don't know if I have ever had Senator Lynch agree. Both of us agree on the same thing, but I'm going to actually be agreeing on this one, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
I certainly do, and I think it's a great day for Montana, and I think it's a great day when our President Pro Tem has been up on three or four votes, and he said yes three times. So go green and join him in this great bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Lynch, and when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill, where am I at here, 494, that it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 50 or 494, House Bill 494 has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 368. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 368, introduced by Grief, a bill for an act entitled an act adopting the Uniform Premarital and Marital Agreements Act, providing definitions, providing requirements for the validity and enforceability of a premarital or marital agreement, repealing the Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing an effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 17.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 368. What is your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 368, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Sands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, this is an update of the Uniform Premarital and Marital Agreement Act, which we currently have on the books, but this is the current national version being adopted by other states. What it does is it ensures that people who enter into a premarital or marital agreement can have that agreement upheld. There are a number of provisions in here that protect the rights of the parties that are involved. For example, on page 4, there is a discussion of the waiver of rights so that hopefully people understand exactly what they might be giving up. This premarital agreement says if you sign this agreement, you may be giving up your right to be supported by the person you are marrying or to whom you are married. You may be giving up your right to ownership or control of money and property. You may be agreeing to paying bills and debts of the person you are marrying and to whom you are married. You may be giving up your right to money and property if your marriage ends, etc. I know we all hear about these as celebrity events, But in fact, we all know that there are a number, divorce is certainly more common, and these enter into those situations. But it's also elderly people who are widowed and meet someone and would like to marry that person, and their families, they have financial obligations to members of their family. These kinds of agreements allow for them to be able to be really clear about what the contractual legal agreement is between the two parties. In the end, the court has a check on this. If you look on page 5, if there's something in here that's really not copacetic and on the up and up, the court can enter into that. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will sit if there are any questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I have a question for the sponsor, please, for the carrier?
Yeah, the sponsor yield?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Sands. As you recall, we were in the committee hearing together, and I was a reluctant yes on this bill. But I've gone through it a couple times, and I continue to be concerned about a couple of things. And I'd like to ask you a question on from page 5, line 18, new section 10, unenforceable terms. Number 2, a term in a premarital agreement or a marital agreement is not enforceable to the extent that it, and then dropping down to line 25C, purports to modify the grounds for a court decree separation or a marital dissolution available under law of this state. It seems to me, so just my situation with my husband, we were both 40 when we got married. We both came with assets. I'm closer to him now than I was when I married him, and I might want to, you know, modify that marital agreement. And my concern is that the passage of this would eliminate the contractual availability that's available to couples in the state at this time. Could you address that?
Thank you for the question. Gee, I wish I'd gone to law school. But fortunately, we have someone in the room who has gone to law school who might be able to answer that specific question. Mr. Chairman, may I refer this, or is it okay if we refer it to?
I would appreciate Senator Fitzpatrick's
Senator
input on
over
it.
Here.
Yeah. Senator, do you yield?
I would, and actually I think Senator Baldwin probably does more of this work than I do, but the way I'm interpreting this is modifying a court-ordered separation and marital dissolution. The way I'm interpreting that is if you had a divorce decree ahead of time, you can't come in and then modify it later, but that might not be the right interpretation. Maybe Senator Baldwin can give us a better answer.
Senator Baldwin? Oh. Is there any further discussion? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Senator.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Let's go with Senator Morgill for the moment.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say I specifically avoided premarital and marital law in my practice. So I would also say that Senator Fitzpatrick might want to start charging people for his time here pretty soon.
Senator McGilvray.
You done?
Go ahead. Maybe I'll follow up, I guess. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think Senator Manzella was done.
Okay, Senator Manzella, and then we'll go to Senator Brown.
Okay, so I apologize for the confusion. Reflecting on what Senator Fitzpatrick, our legal mind, did say, that you can't modify an agreement once it's been entered into, and that's my concern. You know, at this at this point in my life with my husband, you know, I might want to enter into a contract that says, you know, that we will go to counseling or mediation before we divorce, or that we'll wait a period of time before we divorce, or that we waive the right to seek divorce when the other spouse is in a hospital or in a coma or on military deployment, things of that nature. And my concern is that this new Section 10 on unenforceable terms would eliminate my ability to do that. So I was a reluctant yes in committee, and I'm going to be a no on this now, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this is one of those bills that, I mean, I believe I'm going to vote for it. I still haven't made up my mind yet, but I think it's a necessary evil in our society. I would never marry a rich woman that wanted me to sign one of these. But really, really, I think that comes down to the point of the whole thing is that if, you know, and I see it, I see the use of it in later in life as you might be moving on, you know, you've had a spouse die or something like that, and you're moving on with your life, and you want to protect your family and that individual's, your previous spouse's children or whatever family in those instances. I understand it, and that's why I think I'm going to vote for it. But it really would be my advice, it's my personal advice, I guess. If you are a new couple and you are getting ready to enter into a marriage and you feel like you need to have this, my personal advice is that you don't get married.
With that, Senator McGillivray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I would have some serious reservations about the bill. One of the pages asked, I think it was Senator Manzella, a question recently, do you have any votes that you regret? And I thought about that when I heard that they'd asked for that, and I thought, well, not yet. But now I do. I voted for this bill in committee kind of reluctantly, and after a retrospect, I had some serious regret that I did vote for that bill and committee, and now I'm going to be a vote no on this bill. To address Senator Brown's concern, who you just brought up, as a financial advisor, I worked with a lot of clients that did what we called Q-tips, qualified terminal interest property trusts, which basically, this would be an older couple who got married, and they wanted to designate that their spouse could get the income from that trust while they were living, but after the other spouse died, then it would go to the children of their previous marriage. So I think the bottom line is most of the things that this thing does, you can do already. You don't need this bill to do what you can do already. But here's my biggest concern, and I get that I'm a fossil in many ways, that I got married 45 years ago, and when Margaret and I got married, we didn't think it through very well. You know, if we'd have thought it through, maybe we would have had one of these documents prepared, but frankly, we didn't either one of us have anything. I mean, we didn't have any money to put in a checking account, any property to split, except for my 1976 Ford Pinto, which was an absolute disaster. But seriously, I guess the heartbreak is here that society has come to a point where we have to have these kind of documents in place to get married, and I really regret that. And so I'm going to be a no vote. I don't think we should pass these kind of bills. Thank you.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the sponsor yield?
Sponsor yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to talk to you face-to-face again.
Welcome back.
My concern is on page 4, line 6. I was back here talking about something else. I don't think it's been asked yet, but I will. If I've duplicated it, just fill me in quickly. You had that the party had to have independent legal representation at the time of the agreement was signed. When I got divorced, my wife and I used the exact same attorney. There's hardly anything to discuss. The kids were a majority, split the house, split the bills. Why pay a lot of money to get to where you want to be? So if two people going into marriage sat down with a lawyer and said, this is what we agree, and he draws it up and they sign it, why is that now suddenly nullified?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I don't know why it's nullified, but I think part of the point of this is protection of the parties, that they know what they're getting into. People don't enter into these agreements if they've got nothing and they're starting out. These are usually people who have significant assets of one kind or another, and they should have legal representation. There are provisions in here for example, on page 5, that the court may refuse to enforce a term if taken as a whole, the terms are unconscionable, or if there was duress or various kinds of things. So I think what they're providing for is some protection, but I'm not a lawyer.
Further question?
Certainly.
You continue and to
you
yield.
You can pass this to any legal beagle. We got like 3 of them sitting here. So my concern is, and maybe you can address this for me, is that two people with means or without means draw an agreement. They're happy. 15 years later, one of them is not happy. Turns out they didn't have an agreement because they didn't know about this statute, and they used the same attorney. Have we not added a lot of confusion into an agreement that is none of our business?
Well, let me say, Mr. Chairman, Senator, there already is an existing Uniform Premarital and Marital Agreements Act, so I'm sure this is all covered, and everything can go to court, and everyone can lawyer up in these cases. So, you know, whether you vote for this bill or not, there will remain a Premarital and Marital Agreement Act in our codes. This comes to us from the Uniform Code and the Family Law section as a cleanup and update of what is the current standard to address areas where our existing law apparently is somewhat deficient. So,
thank you.
I don't know.
Thank you, Senator Sands. Using the same disclosure that Senator McGilvery used, I'm a fossil too, but I've only been married for 4 years. The documents I signed were in Chinese. I think I'm married, but according to this, I might not be divorced. Senator Morgeau, if we could talk later, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chair, loving this today. I'm just reading through this on page 5, and if we go into line 6, it says, if a premarital agreement or marital agreement modifies or eliminates spousal support and the modification or elimination causes a party to the agreement to be eligible for support under a program of public assistance at the time of separation or marital dissolution, a court on request of that party may require the other party to provide support to the extent necessary to avoid that eligibility. And then it also says a court may refuse to enforce a term of a premarital agreement or a marital agreement in the context of the agreement taken as a whole. And then if you go into B, enforcement of the term would result in a substantial hardship for a party because of a material change in circumstances arising after the agreement was signed. So when I read through this, this is now us as legislators sitting here and telling people what will and what will not be in their premarital agreement, and then saying that the court at the end of the day can throw that out, and what we have agreed to in a premarital agreement doesn't work. So if you've agreed to pay somebody in your marriage and in a divorce, you know, $10,000 a month in alimony, and you've paid that for a year, they have not gone out, gotten a job, and then they end up on some kind of state assistance, the court can sit there and make you pay. How does that make sense? So with that, I respectfully ask for a do not pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Boldman.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the body, you're eating into the number of times I wanted to get up on the floor this session. I told my friend from Colstrip I only wanted to get up a few more times this session. But so to my friend, the President Pro Tem,
the section you're referencing is already an existing law in Montana. All this bill does, even though we've gone down several rabbit holes right today, all this bill does is just update our existing uniform code. So our good friend, my dear attorney friend from Great Falls, over the last few sessions has carried numerous uniform codes before this body. And what uniform codes do for us lawyers is just try to create regularity state to state so that we're using the same terms and practicing under the same kind of ideas and laws. Our friend from Billings, he was right when he said, we technically don't need this. We can already engage in premarital agreements in the state of Montana. Again, all this does is put us in line with the Uniform Code Commission, which I looked up from the National Conference of Commissioners. They updated it in 2012, and now it's been adopted by 28 states, and it's now on up to be passed in six more. So really, this is just making sure that we can have validly entered contracts from state to state as we get divorced and we get remarried and we have prenuptial agreements from state to state. Most of this bill, including what my friend from Valley County was referencing, is already in state law.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, Senator Sands.
Everyone happy now? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this already exists in law, so if you don't vote for it, that's fine. The existing law will still apply. But I think it lays out some of the realities that marriages are legal agreements and there are responsibilities that go with it. And for some people, they will trust that things will work out well. Other people have other issues, and so they enter into contracts to deal with those issues, and in the end, the court and attorneys end up getting involved when they disagree with what they had think they had agreed upon. So as the good senator said over here, this is existing law. It comes to us from the Montana family law section and the uniform code section. There was no disagreement about updating it. It came from the House on a 92-6 vote. And I think it's good to update these codes. So with that, I will sit and hope you will vote green.
Okay, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 368, that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
Okay, 31 senators voting aye and 19 nay. The bill has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 386. For your consideration, the clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 386, introduced by Gist, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to auxiliary officers, allowing an auxiliary officer to carry a weapon on a search and rescue mission with prior approval of the sheriff, and amending section.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 386. What's your pleasure, Senator Brown?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 386, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this is a pretty simple bill. I hate to always say that, but what this really is allowing, if you look on page or line 16, currently no auxiliary officer may carry a weapon while on an assigned duty. Well, many of those assigned duties are search and rescue missions. They're in the backcountry, and they really feel like they need a way to protect themselves, you know. And one of the other points was, you know, In extreme circumstances, your radio doesn't work, or you can't make contact that way. You know, three shots out of a gun has always been a distress call. Come help. So that's really what they're looking for, and it is at the approval of the sheriff, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is there discussion on the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Brown, would you care to close? Sponsor closes. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Brown that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 386, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators voting aye and one voting nay. The motion has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 499. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 499, introduced by Trebus, a bill for an act entitled an act revising child abuse and neglect laws regarding reasonable efforts required to prevent removal of a child from the home or to reunify families separated by the state, defining reasonable efforts and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the section.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 499. What's your pleasure, Senator Manzella?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 499, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate. It is the policy and guiding principle of the state of Montana to support and preserve the family as the single most powerful influence for ensuring the healthy social development and mental and physical well-being of Montana's children. And this bill is an effort to do just that through preservation of the family and defining reasonable efforts. Everything concerning the bill is right there on page 1, line 15. For the purposes of this subsection, the term reasonable efforts means the department shall in good faith develop and implement voluntary service agreements and treatment plans that are designed to preserve the parent-child relationship and the family unit and shall in good faith assist parents in completing voluntary service agreements and treatment plans. And that's basically what this bill is about, to create more accountability and transparency and hopefully preserve the family unit and promote reunification in all possible situations. I would ask for a green, please.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Manzella that when the committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 499, that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will now record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no. The motion has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 231. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 231, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled an act revising certificates of need to include only long-term care facilities and services and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 8.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 499. What is your pleasure? Senator Glamm.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 231, recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Glamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The title of this pretty well says it all, but I'll give you just a little bit more information to that. So the places that we do have certificate of need that would be repealed would be facilities of ambulatory surgical, home health care facilities, and inpatient chemical dependency facilities. We would leave in place long-term care facilities. But let's, what does this mean? So say, for example, let's say that you have a heart for people that struggle with addiction, and you really like that kind of work, and so you want to start the process of opening a chemical dependency clinic. But before you open this clinic, you would have to ask the government if there is a need for this critical care, and the government would have the option to tell you that no, you can't. So what we're trying to do here is, why would we want to stop somebody from investing and providing these services? If they think there's a need, let's let the free market determine whether that's going to work or not. So that's basically it, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 231, signed Senator Glynn.
Mr. What? Chairman.
Yeah, what's
Mr.
your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 231 with amendment number 02310020001, Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This pretty simple amendment that was came together by the couple of groups involved in this, and it's pretty simple. It just talks about when someone wants to make an improvement in a long-term care facility that exceeds $5 million, does not otherwise need the certificate of need, they need to then notify the department of the total amount of the expenditure and provide a description of what they did with that. So it's basically, if they want to do an addition or a remodel to their facility without changing actually what it's configured like, but they can do upgrades, that kind of thing. They just have to notify the department that they have done that, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I believe Senator Gross has her hand up.
Okay, Senator Gross.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I wasn't aware this amendment was coming to the floor. Just taking a look at it now. We already amended this bill in committee. If you'll look up, I'm looking at a gray bill right now. So at the beginning of section 2, you'll see that we've stricken sub A. I think the reporting requirements are probably a good thing. But I don't know why we're upping the ante from $1.5 to $5 million. I'm going to recommend a no on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? Senator Glenn, would you care to close on your amendment?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a good amendment, and it is a collaborative effort between the parties who were objectional to the bill in committee, so I please encourage a green vote. Thank you.
Senator Hertz. Oh, okay. The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Glimm that Senate Bill 291 be amended. All as many as are in favor of the motion vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 37 senators vote aye and 13 senators vote nay.
Okay, 37 senators have voted aye, 13 no. Are there any further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is there a discussion on the motion? Okay, Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee. I'm going to be a no vote on this bill. We've had certificate of need in place in Montana for many years, mostly to help contain the cost of home health care services, but also to ensure that Montanans in need of service have access to quality services. Without certificate of need, Montana is likely to be flooded with a ton of new home health agency with little regard to actually serving underserved areas. New agencies are likely to locate in the most populous areas where cherry picking of patient referrals are likely to happen and drive up utilization of services without actually without need for those services actually going up. The sponsor in his open talked about the free market. We heard a lot about this in committee also. But I think that certificate of need conversations should really resolve around utilization and spending principles. There was a study that found eliminating certificate of need results in an increase in supply of home health service providers and an increase in utilization, but the rate of and the needs of the community stay steady. And there was a study that found that roughly 3/4 of home health care providers are run as for-profit organizations and are likely to have higher incentives to offer services to individuals who don't even need those services. So in this context, overutilization of home health care can potentially be restricted by controlling supply. We have evidence of this in other states. For both Medicare and Medicaid spending per enrollee on home health care in states without certificate of need was lower in 1992 and higher in 2009 than states that do have certificate of need laws. Another key finding in that study is that growth in home health care spending is the lowest in states with certificate of need laws. And then just a couple other things I want to say. This bill eliminating certificate of need is likely to increase the probability of Medicare fraud, which could result in moratoriums on licensing new agencies. We've actually seen this happen in Florida and Texas. We currently have a severe shortage of home health care workers, from registered nurses to caregiving aides, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists. I believe this will only get worse without certificate of need and cost containment. I think this is a bad idea to do in the middle of a pandemic. It's not good public health policy. I urge a no vote. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, will this carrier yield for a question?
Mr. Chairman, maybe.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, that sounded like a strong yes. Senator, does the certificate of need exemption, does it still supply to a community that has a critical access hospital? Do you know?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hertz, so are you asking if it would apply to a critical access hospital or just if it would apply to the community that has a critical access hospital?
Mr. Chair, Senator, to the community, so a lot of us folks in rural communities have critical access hospitals. So I'm concerned that a bigger hospital might come into our community and open up shop and have a dramatic impact on our critical access hospital.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hertz, I believe it doesn't have a qualification that it doesn't affect a community with critical access hospital.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Glenn, would you like care to close? Senator closes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would take just a second. This bill did pass last session. It was vetoed. It's less government interference and more competition and entrepreneurial freedom. That'll equal better care, lower cost. Please do concur.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Glenn that when this committee does rise and report and having under consideration House Bill 231, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators haven't voted aye and 19 nay. Motion carries on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 307. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 307, introduced by Gillette, a bill for an act entitled an act repealing the obligation of adult children to support indigent parents, amending sections and repealing sections.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
What is your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 307, that the same be concurred with.
Senator Sands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, this is a fairly simple bill that came out of Public Health 90 and out of the House 95-5. It simply repeals a section of code that goes back to the old days of when we had poor houses, et cetera, which required that people support their indigent parents financially. And I've checked with the counties. This applies to counties. Counties that provide various kinds of services under the existing law could, in fact, charge children who have some means for the costs of their indigent parents. This repeals that, as you'll see on page 2, line 7, a county may seek reimbursement, if applicable, for costs under this section. It simply does away with that. In this day and age, we don't charge children for their parents' bills and expenses. And with that, it came in, it really had no one speaking for or against it. I checked with my county. They looked at it and said, we don't do that anyway, so it doesn't matter to us. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is there discussion on the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Sands, would you care to close?
Close.
Senator closes. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 307, that it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 38 senators vote aye and 12 senators vote nay.
38 senators having voted aye and 12 having voted no. Motion passes on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 328. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 328, introduced by Keogh, a bill for an act entitled an act providing requirements for evaluating and assessing language and literacy development in deaf and hard of hearing children, providing for the selection of language-specific evaluation and assessment tools and the sharing of the tools with providers, and providing for an annual report regarding the language and literacy development of deaf and hard hearing children.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
What is your pleasure, Senator McNally?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 328, that the same be concurred in.
Senator McNally.
Members of the body, the ability to communicate with other humans is critical for the well-being of all children. And through newborn hearing screenings, most babies with any level of hearing loss are referred for early intervention services. And at that point, parents can make decisions about the services they prefer to have in terms of language acquisition, so be it English or American Sign Language or something like that. Currently, hearing impaired children have services that include regular assessments of communication skills, but not of these language acquisition skills. So what this bill does is identifies early intervention services to assess language acquisition. It requires DPHHS to provide a list of available language assessment tools that show stages of language development for English and American Sign Language. It assures these language assessments are included as part of the service plans mandated by Part C of the Individuals with Disabilities Act, and it requires the results are included in the report of early intervention services that DPHHS issues every year. So it's very simple. It would be a real benefit for families with hearing impaired children, and it has a $0 fiscal note. So I would urge a do pass. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion? Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close?
Close.
Senator McNally closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McNally that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 308, that it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record their vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators having voted aye and 3 voting no. The bill has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 364. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 364, introduced by Trebus, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring the Department of Public Health and Human Services to provide information about investigations to certain mandatory reporters on request, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvray?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 364, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McGilvray.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is pretty simple. It just requires the Department of Public Health and Human Services to provide information about investigations to certain mandatory reporters. Now, those reporters are like physicians, nurses, school teachers, social workers, et cetera. And what they're, if one of those individuals report to Child Protective Services about a child, then they can request that the department give them some specific information about the outcomes. And that's down in line 19 through 21. So they can require information, what happened with the investigation, the outcome of the investigation, and actions taken on behalf of the child. That seemed reasonable to the committee, and that's why it came out 9-0. So recommend a green light.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor closes. Question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvray when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 364 that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 nay. The bill has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have it before you for your consideration, House Bill 459. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 459, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to providing for certification of child protection specialists investigating matters of suspected child abuse, neglect, or endangerment, providing implementation instructions, providing rulemaking authority, providing definitions, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 16.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 459. What is your pleasure, Senator Glenn?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 459, recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Glenn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a bill that will create a certificate for our Child Protective Services people, and it's a good plan. We all know that that this is a difficult situation, and we need to improve our state's position here. So the biggest highlights in the bill are the following. The position is defined in Section 2. The requirements for the initial certification are stated in Section 4, and we also talk about what the recertification looks like, including ethics and new law development in Section 5. And the balance of the bill primarily just changes the word to include child protection specialist from social worker. The main reason for this bill is to provide for consistency and professionalism within the child protection system. And more professionalism and consistency will lead to solutions for our retention and experience problems within the social workers that deal with these very difficult situations with children and families. I encourage a green vote. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the bill? Senator Gross.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did vote for this bill in committee. But I'm going to vote no here on the floor. We amended the bill in committee. Initially, we were creating a whole new license for child protection specialist, a license that could only be used for one job, for one employer, being the Department of Health and Human Service. We amended the bill so that it's no longer a license, but just a certificate. But we would be now having all child CPS workers be subject to rules put out by the Board of Behavioral Health. I think this is a huge move. And, you know, we did this in, we created a new certificate in 2017 for peer support specialists. Those folks they're able to go out and work in a competitive workforce. They could. I don't know if any state agencies are you. Actually, I do know there are state and federal agencies that are using peer support specialists. But I think this is a very narrow job that can only be used by one employer. I would agree with the sponsor and the intent of the bill that, you know, we want to do what we can to increase the professionalism among our child protection specialists and that whole workforce. We had a bill last week that I think was a good step in the right direction, but I don't think that putting all of our CPS workers under the purview of the Board of Behavioral Health is the right move at this time. So I do recommend a no vote on this bill, unfortunately. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there further discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, this is a narrowly defined bill, and it's a very important bill, and it's a very important position. And we have the Board of Behavioral Health oversees many people. For them to have oversight in this certificate for our child protection specialist, I think, is a good move. Vote green.
Okay, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Glenn that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 459, that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Every member having voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 nay, the motion has carried in second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you H.J. 6. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
H.J. 6, introduced by Fern, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana requesting an interim study of Montana's coal severance tax trust fund.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Okay, members of the Senate, you now have before you House Bill, or H.J. 6. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, and I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Joint Resolution Number 6, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is a study bill has to do with the Coal Trust Fund. This is our 50th anniversary of the Coal Trust. You know, we all know that that fund's a reliable provider for general fund, long-range planning, conservation districts, library services, cultural trusts, state parks, TSEP, Big Sky Endowment, school facility, and the permanent fund. So the study intends to review the uses of our fund, what actions might be taken to either lower expectations of the capacity of this fund due to some issues we're having in the coal market, and also look at potential changes that might allow added growth. The studies will seek a better understanding of the future of the Montana coal market and export, and the study will look at consequences of restrictions placed upon how that fund can be invested, and looking at possible higher modeling and looking at greater rate of return. So study's also going to look at opportunities to diversify the fund through other energy sources. So it's very important for the healthy future of our state. So I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Ankeny.
Mr. Chairman, speak to the bill. I think this is a very prudent resolution. I think it's something that we really need to take a look at as these contributions into the severance tax decline. We're going to have to prioritize some of these sub-accounts that come off of it and use that money wisely. And I like the part about researching out some possible export possibilities for coal. After all, it's our moral responsibility to give those people burning coal in the Pacific Rim a clean burning coal. This is for the kids.
Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, Senator, would you like to close? Senator Hertz closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when the committee does rise and report after having under consideration H.J. 6, that it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 45 senators vote aye and 5 senators vote nay.
45 senators haven't voted aye and 5 voting nay. The motion has carried second reading. Members, you now have before you for consideration Senate, actually this is a House amendment to Senate Bill 168. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 168, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled an act revising lien laws, revising attorney liens, including transactional matters for attorney liens, providing for client consent and communication, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill or the House Amendment to Senate Bill 168. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does arise, report after having had under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 168, it recommends the same be concurred.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you recall, this is a bill which attempts to place some limits on how attorney liens are utilized. When it went over to the House, they added a few more amendments. I support the amendments. I'd ask for a green light here. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion on the bill, Senator Fitzpatrick, would you care to close? Senator closes. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 168, that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no. The bill has passed on second reading. With this, Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye and those opposed no.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Bill 320 do pass. House amendments to Senate Bill 168 concurred in. House Bills 50, 307, 328, 364, 368, 386, 459, 454, 499, 556, and House Joint Resolution 6 be concurred in. House Bill 231 be concurred in as amended.
Senator Gillespie.
And I move that the Committee of the Whole report be adopted.
For the motion of Senator Gillespie that the Committee of the Whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Molnar. Senator Molnar, I just need you to vote, please. Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye and 0 senators haven't voted no. The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Gillespie. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 49, introduced by Blaisdell, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Gambling Laws.
Senate Bill 49, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 44 have voted yes, 6 have voted no.
44 senators haven't voted aye, and 6 senators haven't voted no. House Senate Bill 49 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 57, introduced by Pomnikowski, a bill for an act entitled Revising Laws Related to Reports to the Legislature.
Senate Bill 57, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 senators haven't voted aye, and 2 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 57 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 31, introduced by Buttrey, a bill for an act entitled Clarify Terminology on Military Titles and Command Authority.
House Bill 31, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 1 senator haven't voted no. House Bill 31 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 63, introduced by Gudling, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Insurance Laws.
House Bill 63, haven't been read three several times. Question, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 17 have voted no.
33 senators haven't voted aye, and 17 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 63 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 146, introduced by Mercer. A bill for an act entitled to require OBPP to report actual costs to costs projected in fiscal notes.
House Bill 146 have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 146 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 159, introduced by Jones. A bill for an act entitled revised governor's power to spend certain unanticipated federal funds.
House Bill 159 have been read through several times. Question, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 14 have voted no.
36 senators haven't voted aye, and 14 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 159 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 192, introduced by Rex Sen. A bill for an act entitled Revising Laws Related to School Major Maintenance Funding.
House Bill 192 have been read through several times. Question, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote. Senator Wilburn.
Mr. President, 43 have voted yes, 7 have voted no.
43 senators haven't voted aye, and 7 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 192 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 318, introduced by Homeland. A bill for an act entitled Clarified Definition of Bison.
House Bill 318 have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 318 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 333, endorsed by Usher, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Laws Related to Sexual and Violent Offenders.
House Bill 333 have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators have voted no. House Bill 333 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 336, introduced by Lura, a bill for an act entitled Interstate Cooperative Meatpacking Compact.
House Bill 336 have been read through several times. Question, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 336 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 346, introduced by Welch, a bill for an act entitled Revised Renewable Energy Laws.
House Bill 346 have been read through several times. Question, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 346 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 416, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Establishing Educational Requirements for Child Welfare System Supervisors.
House Bill 416 have been read through several times. Question, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 416 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 432, introduced by Gunderson, a bill for an act entitled Revised Property Tax Exemptions for Affordable Housing.
House Bill 432 have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 senators haven't voted aye, and 4 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 432 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 614, introduced by Cafaro, a bill for an act entitled to revise the Help Link Program.
House Bill 614 have been read through several times. Question, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 29 have voted yes, 21 have voted no.
29 senators haven't voted aye, and 21 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 614 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, the House Joint Resolution 14, introduced by Garner, a bill for an act entitled Joint Resolution Regarding Public Safety Communicator.
House Joint Resolution 14 have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 senators haven't voted aye, and 5 senators haven't voted no. House Joint Resolution 14 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move to suspend Senate Rules 40-40, 40-60, 50-190, and Senate Joint Rules 40-151 until the 67th legislative day. This rule suspension allows us to be more flexible in the upcoming days to work bills through the process in the upcoming days as we move towards transmittal deadlines.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. President. My motion would be that we, using the power of subpoena, in MCA 5-5-101, I don't know about compel, but really ask that Northwestern Energy CEO Bob Rowe tomorrow attend the Senate bill hearing 379, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Molnar, I do have a question for you. I did reach out to legal staff on this under code 55101. I know that it is up to either the presiding officer of the Senate or the Speaker of the House or the presiding officer of the committee can have that subpoena. They didn't feel that there was a motion that could actually be done to compel me to do that. As we discussed before this, I at this point in time, I'm not compelled to offer that subpoena, but I'm happy to discuss that with you. I do not know if this motion, from their discussion with me, they don't feel that this motion is in order as far as to compel me to do that. But I apologize that you did send me an email yesterday afternoon and brought it up to me today to discuss with you.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate this discussion. We discussed it a moment ago, and I knew that you were not real big on this. I understand that. Mr. Chairman, the reason I'm doing this is a bill that has the capacity, at a minimum, to put $500 million in rates on ratepayers. Top end, $1 billion. Step two, $5 billion. I think that former Chairman PSC Rowe should be here. It may be he's going to be here. I checked with the chairman. He has not signed up for Zoom that we know of. I would like to think he would be here because the questions coming forward and the answers coming forward, I believe, should not be handled by a lobbyist. They should be handled by the man that's responsible for the outcome should this legislation pass. That having been said, I'm not going to throw it to the board and try and compel you. First of all, I think I'd lose. Second of all, I'm pretty sure that CEO Rowe will be informed that we'd like to have him be there. So I believe I've fulfilled my purpose. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Molnar. Seeing no further motions, we'll go to order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Aguirre.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, four bills, 8
Senator,
o'clock.
Senator Hoven.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will meet tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., two bills.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may be off the record, out of the journal, purpose of an announcement.
Senator Cuff.
Mr. President, members of the body, tomorrow there will be a Tuesday lunch in the old Supreme Court, room 303, University of Montana President Seth Bodner and UM Forestry School Dean Alan Townsend will be hosting lunch and discussing the proposed forestry building on UM campus to be built with CLTE, called cross-laminated timbers, which is a new wood building product manufactured in Montana. Thank you, Mr. President. Lunch tomorrow, Old Supreme Court.
Senator Gothier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Local government today, 3 o'clock, one bill.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Business and Labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Osmundson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims will meet at 3 o'clock in room 317 to continue our discussion on Section B.
Senator Howard.
Mr. President, Senate Public Health will meet in room 303, three bills.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Education this afternoon, 3 o'clock, couple of bills.
Senator Temple.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been asked by the spouses that the legislative spouses were asked by the Montana Supporting Military Group to have those signs that are out in the foyer signed. There's three of them here. There's three of them over in the House. And these will be sent to six different military branches. And the spouses have made over 300 handmade cards that will be also sent. So if you would please sign those. And thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate State Administration, room 335, 3 o'clock, five bills. And, Mr. President, if I may be off and out.
Senator Kerry.
I would like to introduce the pages for the week, and we have five of them. First one, Mr. President, is Ellie Blaisdell. She attends school at the Stillwater Christian School in Kalispell and lives in Summers, where she is when she isn't helping at her dad's Mexican restaurant, she enjoys cliff jumping. Is that what happens? Is that bad? You want to go jump off a cliff, huh? I understand. Ellie is a strong swimmer. Her favorite subject is English, and she is considering a medical field after graduation. Ellie is sponsored by Senate President Blaisdell. Thea Gillespie. Thea attends school at Madison West High School in Madison, Wisconsin. I did say Madison, Wisconsin. She plays volleyball and is fluent in Spanish. She also plays the guitar and plays and enjoys helping others. Yes, she's from Madison, Wisconsin, and she flew in Saturday for this experience. Thea is sponsored by Senator Gillespie. Riley Glim. If you gals could just stay standing, that would be appreciated. Riley Glim? Riley Glim? Yes. Attends Glacier High School in Kalispell and lives in Kela. She is in speech and debate, but her main focus is on horses. Riley takes horse in 4-H and is president of the 4-H Club. She was Little Miss Rodeo as an eighth grader and is a barrel racer. She is also on praise team at her church. Riley is sponsored by Senator Glim. Leah Knutson. Leah attends Helena Christian School in East Helena and recently moved here from Culbertson. She plays basketball, volleyball, and softball, and sings in the choir. Leah enjoys the outdoors with camping, fishing, hunting, and riding her motorcycle. She is sponsored by Senator Vance. Her father works just across the street in the Justice Building. You may know him as Attorney General. Reagan Long lives in Livingston. Reagan attends Shields High School, Shields Valley High School, where he is president of his class. He plays basketball and track and participates in Futures Farmers of America. Reagan is in 4-H and can be considered a professional photographer as he sells note cards of his 4-H photography at the farmers market in Livingston. He plays the piano and saxophone and is in band. Reagan is sponsored by Senator S. Mr. President.
Welcome to the Senate. All right, seeing no further announcements, is there? Oh, Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. President, I would like to be off and out for a purpose of an introduction.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. President, I would like to introduce Senator Heimbaugh's wife, Beth, up there, and welcome to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Members, just a quick update on the schedule, just for everybody. I know we've got Easter weekend coming up. With kind of the changing of days, it does put us on a deadline of next Thursday for revenue bills and those proposing referenda to get through the process. I know we had a few more bills put in today just for the chairs so that they can keep that in mind. I know we'll be waiting on some fiscal notes, and but those with higher than the threshold will still need to go through second reading, get down to finance, and for them to work through that. The plan is still to have House Bill 2 on the floor on next Thursday on the 8th, as well as we may need to wrap up a couple bills if we have to, just to make sure the Senate bills get through the process, which is why we asked to suspend the rules for those today. So for those committee chairs that maybe have an afternoon committee on Thursday, no, we want to make sure we get everybody out of here, but surely keep that in mind. If you need to have a bill hearing Thursday afternoon, and we'll try to keep the floor session short. And then on Tuesday, we'll certainly take a look at whether we'll want to come in at 1, depending on how many bills we need to get through the process and what are available. But for those committee chairs that may need to schedule that morning, but if they can get their bills heard earlier than that, that'd be great too. So I know it's tough with some of these bills dropping in and the fiscal notes kind of having to catch up to them for you to have hearings. But just keep that in mind that that leaves us with Tuesday. It leaves us with Wednesday and Thursday to get those revenue bills across over to the House. So with that, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m. on March 30th, the 62nd legislative day.
For the motion of Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on March 30th.